Sawbones is a show about medical history, and nothing the hosts say should be taken as medical advice or opinion. It's for fun. Can't you just have fun for an hour and not try to diagnose your mystery boil? We think you've earned it. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy a moment of distraction from that weird growth. You're worth it.
All right. Song is about some books. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Everybody, welcome to Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine. I'm your co-host, Justin McElroy.
And I'm Sydney McElroy.
Sydney, what's wrong?
I don't know. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to hurt your feelings.
Go on and say it. Everybody else on the internet said it. You might as well say it too.
Last week's episode, it seemed to be really popular.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people
really
liked it and said really nice things. And I'm not saying that they don't say that about our show when you're on it.
Well, in fiction, I was on it, to be fair. I was just in the body of a 14-year-old girl.
Right, sure. Uh-huh. That was the case. I'm just saying that when it's you in your own body with your own voice, people aren't necessarily as... I don't mean they don't like it. They're just not as like enthusiastic about our show.
Sydney, I'm going to be honest, especially for the start of the show, and we're like married and we should be supportive and stuff. That was a pretty sick burn. There's a lot of burning going on right now.
Well, you know what could have helped you with that burn?
What, Sydney?
If you would have worn sunscreen.
Wow. That's like a double burn on both of us, I guess.
If you're asking medically if that was a double burn, that's not a thing. There are second degree burns, but there's not a double burn.
No, I know there's not a double burn. Okay. Yeah. Sunscreen. Fine.
Sydney, I've got a double burn.
Okay, fine. Intro over. We're talking about sunburns.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to hurt your feelings.
It's all right. It's a really good posy start to the show. I'm really into it.
I am glad that you're back.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
I did miss
go on,
you.
Go on. Yes.
And I love you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And our child is glad you're back. And even Riley is glad you're back. Probably.
I think. So thanks to the people who suggested this topic. And here it is. No more need to denigrate Justin.
Well, I'll tell you who the people are who suggested this episode. Mm-hmm. Let's not just thank them in general. Let's name them.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
I'm not going to help you. I'm not going to keep up.
You're not going to help
you
at all?
I'm too angry.
All right. Thank you to Jackson and Tina and Anthony and Nicholas for suggesting some variety of this topic. That I included you all because you suggested either sunburns or sunscreen or suntanning. And we're just going to talk about it all because it's summer.
Summertime.
Yay.
Summertime.
Which is great, except for in the summer, everybody forgets that they haven't been outside all year long.
Right. You're so happy to get out there and get that D.
And the first thing they do is go outside and hang out in the sun all day and get sunburned. And that's a big problem. So I think we should talk about it.
Sounds good, Sid. Hit me.
Okay. So it's been known for a while that there is a link between skin damage and sun exposure. We didn't really understand it. We just knew that, you know, if you're out in the sun and the heat for a long time, sometimes it hurt, you know, your skin hurt.
Got it.
It got red and it would peel off. But we thought it had something to do with the heat mainly.
Yeah, that makes sense. Your skin feels hot afterwards, so
exactly.
That adds up. That tracks for me.
Exactly. And we didn't really understand anything else about the sun other than that it was bright and there was heat. And then, of course, like we liked the sun because a lot of cultures, ancient cultures especially, would worship the sun.
Right.
So, and we didn't understand anything about like UV rays or anything. That wasn't until like the 1800s when we figured out like ultraviolet light and the spectrum of light and like that there are things like rays from the sun that hurt us that have nothing to do with like the heat itself.
So how did sort of ancient cultures adapt to this?
It's interesting because as you kind of go through history, people would come up with ways to protect themselves from the sun to varying degrees, kind of based on what a lot of it was based on what was considered beautiful. So for a long time, pale skin was kind of the ideal. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't want to look like you spend a lot of time outside. And a lot of that had to do with the connotation that if you did have a tan, or if you were burnt and you spent a lot of time outside, then you're a laborer.
Okay.
And so the upper classes would be inside, and so they wouldn't have tans.
Soft hands makes it for a cool guy or lady.
Soft hands makes for a cool guy
or lady, as they say.
Who says that?
It's an old saying from the olden times.
I have never heard that.
It's in Well, it's translated loosely from hieroglyphics.
So you're a cool guy? Did you make that up?
I have rough hands. I've been building a swing set all day for Charlie, so I have rough laborer's hands.
Justin has developed rough laborer's hands in one day from building a swing set.
So, Sydney, how was that handled in Egypt?
Since they felt that pale skin was the ideal, they would try to protect theirself from the sun, knowing that it did. I mean, they recognized there was a color change in their skin after being out in the sun. So they would lighten their skin with like myrrh and frankincense, and actually even dye it sometimes with like a yellow ochre that mm-hmm. you would rub into your skin and would make it appear paler. They also used a kind of ancient sunscreen, which was made of jasmine and rice. And there was actually... in the rice bran, there is a chemical that absorbs UV light and can help restore damaged DNA. So there actually was some
logic to it. Dry out your cell phone, make delicious treats when toasted and added to marshmallow. What can't rice do? Rice is the closest we have to a cure-all. If you are a phone, or you are skin, or you are hungry.
No, but also if you're trying to limit your carbohydrates, don't.
No, correct. Don't. That's true.
So then bad. Then not rice.
Not good.
In Greece, they also attempted to kind of protect themselves from the sun. Specifically, you know, I always picture like the ancient Olympics, and there are all these. I mean, they were men. It was men. I say men just because only men were allowed to participate, and they were all like doing their athletics, and they were naked. Like, you know that, right? I'm not making that up.
Right, that's
like,
not
they,
new.
Yeah, like they did their naked Olympics, and they were all oiled up.
Mm-hmm.
That's like true. They would rub olive oil all over themselves
for the sun damage.
Yes, to protect themselves from the sun.
Does that work?
No.
No.
I mean, somewhat, but no.
It's probably better than nothing. And at the very least, you'll end up delicious.
Yes, better than nothing. And your skin would be great. Sure. I mean, like that, you know, moisturizing and good for your skin. But all in all, is that like your ideal sunscreen? Is that what you want to use today? No.
No.
But it does give us the image of all these like hunky Greek athletic dudes.
Yeah.
Oiled up.
I'm ready to move home.
Throwing discuses.
Disguy, I think.
Throwing disguy. The Native Americans also had their own version of sunscreen. Their own version of treating a sunburn. You could mix hemlock with deer fat, and that would help treat your sunburn.
Hmm.
If it was too late, if you already had one. You could also try plantains.
Oh. Just to eat them, or
mash them up and put it on your skin.
Topical plantains.
Although, on that note, you should try plantains if you have.
Yeah, I mean, if you haven't, they're delicious.
They're really yummy.
Yeah, this and many other food recommendations right here on Sabah's a medical history.
I'm just saying, plantains are delicious.
They are.
They're not like bananas, though. Don't be confused. Don't just eat one.
Don't just eat one and think it's going to be banana-esque, because it's not.
I mean, you'll know right away they're much harder to peel. So,
sure. You
know, if it's a banana and you're having a hard time peeling, it's probably a plantain. Should we talk about how to fix plantains, or?
Or maybe move on to like the next thing you want to talk about. Either way, I'm like, good.
Okay. Well, I really like plantains.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, plantain chips. Fry them up. Hoo boy. Mashed plantains. I could go on like the Bubba Gump of plantains if you'd like, or we could move on to the next like thing.
For a long time, like I said, avoiding a tan was important because, you know, then you were showing off that you didn't have to labor out in the sun. And mm-hmm. specifically, women were supposed to be, you know, fair skinned as a mark of beauty. So like, for instance, Europe during the Middle Ages, women would cover themselves up, you know, like wimples. that like women would wear like over their heads.
Okay.
Like the little cloths on their head, like nuns wear.
Got it.
Except that, you know, like olden times,
yeah,
ladies would wear over their heads and it protect you from the sun so that you could kind of stay pale, which was associated with more money. In Japan, they would actually use like some white powders to even lighten their skin. I know this isn't really sun, but just kind of the idea that pale skin was somewhat beautiful. They would use these powders to lighten their skin, which is not a good idea. Don't use lead or mercury based powders on your skin. In China, it was even like a recommendation, like ancient beauty recommendation, that you should wear like dark blue clothing because it would highlight your skin, like it would make it look paler.
Oh, does that work? I don't know.
Which,
it's more of a fashion question, I guess.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, I guess contrast.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, high contrast to provide a contrast. So anyway, fair was in, and I only mention this just because I think that as we're moving forward, you're going to agree with me that that's not necessarily still the trend.
Mm-hmm.
But the we spent...
Well, it vacillates. I feel like pale has its moments sometimes.
I'm going to make a case for that.
Okay.
Yeah. And then fair skin is in. It's the beauty ideal. Everybody's trying to protect themselves. We don't really know how, except for as we move forward, we start to see like the use of sunlight to treat things. So the idea that maybe sunlight is good for you starts to become commonplace. So the best example being tuberculosis. We talked a lot. We did a whole show on tuberculosis. And if you remember, because we had no idea what to do for it, we would like sit TB patients out in the sun. Like, just sit here in the sun.
Dry them out.
This is probably good for you. Well, there was, like, the dry climate thing, but just, like, sun in general, we thought. And, I guess that's nice. Like, if we're not going to cure your TB, you can at least spend some time in the sun.
Get your D. Just toast out there.
That you mentioned vitamin D, but that was something else we started to discover was the link between sunlight and vitamin D and lack of vitamin D and rickets. And so then we started thinking, like, well, maybe the sun isn't all that bad. Maybe it's not this negative thing that hurts your skin.
Bum rap all these years.
Right. But the beauty thing still held a lot of people back from spending time out in the sun because, you know, if you wanted to look fancy, you were pale.
Right.
Until after the Industrial Revolution.
What happened then?
Well, that's when people started... That was when leisure time was invented.
Before that, everybody worked. And then we invented leisure.
Well, that's really true. There really were, like, I mean, yeah, through a lot of human history. I mean, think about it. Like, for most of human history, we've been just trying to survive, man.
Yeah.
Like, hunt and gather.
Stay alive so that future generations could invent leisure.
Exactly. So that after the Industrial Revolution, there could be really rich people who would say, like, I have all this time on my hands and I don't have work to do. What should I do? And somebody was like, I don't know, be leisurely.
I appreciate the gesture. Past generations, I really do. I know I give you guys a hard time, but I really enjoy leisure now, so thank you for that.
Thank you for inventing leisure
time.
Thank
you for inventing leisure.
And where do you go for leisure time? But the beach.
Okay.
Right? Or somewhere
I don't
lake,
know. They had to figure that all
seaside,
out.
The seaside, somewhere.
Leisure time was still in its prototype phase. They tried a lot of things, maybe. They went to forests. They went to caves. Nothing.
And somebody...
Are you enjoying yourself? I'm not. This does not feel leisurely to me. No, I was just thinking the same thing. We should try the beach.
So what they did, they used Corona commercials as references and said, those people look quite leisurely.
This time traveling Corona ad I found in a space bottle that traveled through time and washed up on the beach has people. Why are we at okay. So we're at the beach for no reason. A time traveling bottle rolls up with a Corona ad in it from the future. And we're like, this is right. We should be here. I already like it here. I was like, yeah, me too. And you know what I just invented? Just a bit of daiquiris. Just like that. It was simultaneous.
And also, hopefully, Corona.
Yeah.
But that didn't come around till later.
No.
Definitely not using a lime in it.
No, absolutely not.
So all these people started spending time at places like the beach and the lake. And I think humans are drawn to water when they want to relax or just whenever. And so they started like chilling outside more. And it started to become a thing like, well, you know, if you're rich, you've got time to hang out at the water. So maybe you start to get a tan. But what really, according to what I have read, and I find this hard to believe, a lot of people link it to Coco Chanel. One incident, which this sounds apocryphal to me, yeah. But maybe it's true, that supposedly Coco Chanel was yachting, as you do when you're Coco Chanel,
yeah.
Off the south of France.
As you do.
And she was laying out on her yacht and she fell asleep.
Unsafe yacht operation for if anybody's curious how to yacht. That is a bad start.
I'm going to assume someone else was steering.
Yes, the I assume that Coco Chanel has her own yacht guy. I would hope she did.
I would assume it's Coco Chanel. So she's laying on her yacht, she falls asleep, she wakes up and is just a sun-kissed beauty. Instantly. Now, why she's not burnt and why she's tan just in this story, yeah. I don't know. But the story goes that she came back to the coast and walked off the yacht, and instantaneously tanning became popular.
Coco over here. Click, click, click. Paparazzi.
And she was just like, this is intentional.
I'm assuming that check was out more this of tan. Like a flashpoint, perhaps, or a tipping point for tanning, rather than just like her changing the whole game in one fill.
I don't know. Nap. Maybe so.
It's possible.
So at that point, tanning really started to become a mark of wealth, first of all, because you had time to be leisurely, and also then beauty, especially from Coco Chanel. And then, you know, you have to imagine that, like, fashion would follow that, like, to show off more skin, you mm-hmm. know, so that you could, you know, you didn't have to hide your skin and keep it untouched by the sun. You could show off your tan. Now, that didn't completely stop us from trying to protect ourselves. We were still trying to figure out why being out in the sun for a long time hurts us. And that was when, as far back as 1918, that's when we first linked sun exposure with cancer. And specifically, like, you know, that there were UV rays coming from the sun that could cause cellular damage. So we've known this for a really long time. And as a result, people started trying to make real sunscreen. Mm-hmm.
And so what did they make it out of?
Well, Justin, I'm going to tell you all about sunscreen. But before I do, why don't you come with me down to the billing department?
Let's go.
The medicines that escalate macabre for the mouth.
Okay, so people started making sunscreen, Sid. What did that look like?
So we go all the way back to 1878. There's a sunscreen that was made. It's got this Otto Veal of Australia proposed it, and it had tannin in it, which was a substance that would stain your skin a yellowish brown color if you applied it. So it not may have worked somewhat,
sure,
but
now you have to pay for that in a spray form, right?
That's true. That maybe, in a sense, Otto invented the first spray tan and didn't realize it.
That's wow. He should have trademarked that. He'd be rich.
Although, I don't know, a yellowish brown color. I'm not sure exactly what color you're going to end up looking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fair. You may just look jaundiced.
Yeah. Not great. So what other options do I have available to me?
The first sunscreen that was commercially produced was by Milton Blake in Australia in the 1920s. And that was the big seller for a long time. And a lot of these early sunscreens did work. A lot of them were actually based on the idea that you could reflect the sun rays. So they were a sun block is probably what you would have called them. We kind of use the terms interchangeably, but what you're really talking about with any kind of sun protectant, so to speak, is are you absorbing sun's rays with the thing, or are you reflecting the sun's rays? So when you're talking about like the zinc oxide kind of stuff that people, you know, that people put on their nose, mm-hmm. you know what I'm talking about?
Kind of like a really strong white.
Yes. Stuff. You're talking about like reflecting the sun's rays. Mm-hmm. Newer sunscreens, most of them kind of absorb the sun's rays is how they block the sun. So when we're talking about the older stuff, it's mainly reflector kind of things. So you probably would have seen them on people. So they weren't as popular, you know, and hard to coat yourself with.
Not a great beach look.
In 1946, a Swiss inventor, Franz Geiger, made Glacier Cream, which sounded very fancy. It was supposed to be better, but actually had an SPF today we would know of about 2.
Okay, not great.
No,
this
was before SPFs, so he didn't know that.
No.
To his credit.
Yeah, he didn't know. In his defense, since he was unaware of them, it was very early in the process, that's like 2 better than none. He would probably say it's 200% more effective than the leading remedy, which is nothing.
Now, during World War II, Benjamin Green made a new substance that you could use to protect your skin from the sun. He used a red veterinary petroleum jelly, or what was called Red Vet Pet.
Hmm.
that did indeed create a barrier to the sun. It was effective as a sunscreen, but you were red.
Oh, well, that's not ideal.
No, most people...
That's what you're trying to avoid.
It was very practical for use, you know, like in a wartime setting, like if you're out in the sun. I wouldn't have thought much skin was exposed. Maybe their faces, you know.
And you got downtime out there.
You got leisure time.
Leisure time.
We've invented leisure time by now. Leisure time at this point. So you're outside and you don't want your face to get burnt. So I guess like putting something that was completely red all over your face, petroleum jelly too, was okay. But later on, he kind of adjusted the formula. He added some cocoa butter because everybody loves cocoa butter. He added some coconut oil because that smells wonderful. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, copper tone.
Oh, is that so? That's a reference to the original.
Yeah.
Way it dyed your skin, huh?
Absolutely.
Oh, huh, interesting. Yeah. I had no idea.
Yeah. And obviously, copper tone eventually no longer turned you red, which made it a much more popular.
In case the copper tone folks are listening, we're not saying that's still a feature for your product.
No, it does not make you red. As far as I know, I don't think I use copper tone.
They have some kids' sunscreens now that actually change your skin like blue for a bit, just so you can tell where it's all been applied. And then as it dries, it turns clear.
I was going to say, that could be terrifying if they're swimming.
Oh, yeah. That would be horrific.
If you turn around and your kid's like swimming around and they're blue, like I'd freak out.
I can't even think about that. It's terrifying.
No. So, but it turns back to like normal.
Yeah.
Like,
so you can see where it's, make sure you got it everywhere and then it dries clear.
Okay. Well, that's a pretty good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. So with all this new sunscreen, though, you would think that people were like, well, now that they're making sunscreen, I should probably use it. But that wasn't necessarily, not everybody felt the need to protect themselves against the sun. There was still this idea that had kind of permeated society that you needed some kind of healthy glow, that it was not only beautiful to look like you'd spend a lot of time out in the sun, but that it was actually a mark that you were in better health than people who were pale. This got worse. I guess that's the word I'm going to use for this. This got worse up until the 60s. And this is really where you see kind of the height of this idea that tanning is the ideal. There are way more products out in the 60s to make you tan more than to make you tan less. So if you go, I mean, it would have, especially like, you know, teenagers at the time or young people probably were not going and buying sunscreen. They were going and buying, you know, tanning lotions that would
make their skin more susceptible.
Yes, absolutely. And I remember these from back in the day, things that I remember they had something called like a tingle factor. And when you put them on, like they'd kind of burn, they'd kind of tingle.
Ugh.
And then you would be in the sun and that was bad. But I remember that these things existed. It seems, and that's not that long. I'm not that old. It's not that long
ago. But you know what? I can remember actual sunscreen stinging too. When I was a little kid, it used to sting. Maybe I'm just thinking about like being in my eyes and stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe. I didn't get out a lot.
I think that's what you're...
I didn't get outdoors much.
Maybe it was just being outside. Yeah.
It's the eyes.
I need to get back inside. So this, along this trend, by the 70s, we see the invention of the tanning bed.
Ugh, gross.
Yes. But on the other hand, in the 70s, and maybe in reaction to this, we also see SPF become a thing. So the idea that we can start rating sunscreens and the FDA gets involved to start regulating sunscreens and the sun protectant factor. So you can actually figure out, like, is this product that I'm buying that might be turning me a color, yellow or red or whatever the sunscreen is it actually protecting me from the sun? Which, I mean, I guess you find out sooner or later.
Right. It doesn't take much work to figure that out.
But you'd prefer to find it out before you go outside in the sun and get burnt rather than after. So then we see like the FDA starts regulating these and you start getting numbers and like, okay, this one's better than this one and that kind of thing. And you can't make like outrageous claims.
Right.
By the 80s, we figured out that there are problems from both UVA and UVB rays. So, you know, that both kinds of rays from the sun are dangerous and can cause skin damage and cancer. And as a result, as we move into the 90s and 2000s, you see more and more types of sunscreen. You see broader spectrum ones that cover both types of rays. They're more popular. And then you see like spray sunscreens and things that are water resistant. If it says waterproof, that does not mean you can swim all day and not reapply.
Got it.
And then, of course, you know, sunscreen really took off with that whole Baz Luhrmann thing in 1999.
Sure, that lit the fire. That was the anti-Coco Chanel.
There are probably young people who are listening who don't know what we're talking about.
Just Google it. Baz Luhrmann made a thing out of somebody else's thing that a lot of people thought was written by Kurt Vonnegut, but wasn't. And it's called, was it just called Wear Sunscreen, I think?
Or you're free to wear sunscreen?
Free to wear. Everybody's free. Everybody's free to wear sunscreen.
That's what it was called.
That's what it's called.
Yeah. And it gives you, like, life advice.
Yeah. Go check it out.
And also,
I have no idea if it will be culturally resonant.
I don't know if it will either.
I have no clue. But in the late 90s, we were into it.
It was. It was considered very cool then. And either way, it tells you to wear sunscreen. So go for it.
Go nuts.
And of course, by now we see that like self tanning is a popular alternative, like spray tanning or, you know, like the things you can massage in, like mousses and stuff to just make you look tan, but not actually be tan. And also, pale skin is coming back.
Woo!
I actually don't know if that's true. I just declared it.
All right. There you go.
Folks, you heard it here first.
Sydney McRoy, the Coco Chanel of her day, has declared that pale skin is back.
That's right. I, as I do every year, the first warm day of the season, I emerge from my house. It's not the south of France and I'm not on a yacht, but I do emerge from my garage and I am wearing a t-shirt and shorts, and the reflection of the sun off my pale, pale skin blinds my neighbors and they say, oh my gosh, who is that pale beauty?
She's back.
I can't see, but I love that look.
Let me get a Tumblr post up about this real quick.
I want to blind my neighbors too. How do I do that? And I'm like, it's easy. Just don't go outside.
Sid, how much SPF do I need?
You know, it's funny. You'll read a lot about this. This is a big like conspiracy theory online, but this is actually fairly true. SPF really maxes out around 45 or 50. The sun protective factor, it's really not like if you go over that, if something says that it's more than that, it's really not. It's 45 or 50. But honestly, a lot of dermatologists will tell you 30 is fine. That's plenty. Because if you look at the numbers, like 15 blocks out, like, and I don't have these percentages. I'm doing this from memory. So it's close to this. About 96% of the sun's rays. And then if you go up to like 30, it's like 97%. Hmm. And then if you get up to like 45 and 50, it's like 98%.
So any sunscreen is better than, is way, 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 way better than none.
Exactly. Exactly. I would say that if you really want to make sure 30 is fine to go with, if you're paying more for stuff that says it's like 60 or 80, that I would not pay more for that kind of thing. But it's not directly related. It's not like 30 is twice as strong as 15. I think that's interesting.
That's interesting.
And it's a measure. It's actually the way they derive those numbers. It's a measure of the time it would take for your skin to burn without sunscreen relative to with this sunscreen. And then somehow they get a number out of that. But crazy. 30 at least, 30 is what I would go for. I would go for 30. There are all kinds of weird treatments for sunburn. So let's say you didn't take my advice and you did get a sunburn. If you check the internet, you will find that people put everything,
just whatever they got handy. You just reach for the first open container and put it on yourself.
That's absolutely true. I was reading these and I found, these are some of the recommendations I found. So if you have a sunburn, here's what you should do. You should put some lettuce on it and some cucumbers on it and some tomatoes on it and some vinegar on it. And I think we just made a salad.
Yeah.
Or on just, you.
Just skip the middle, man. Put some tzatziki sauce in there. You're good to go.
You could also try, I mean, it really, you'll find anything, smashed up strawberries, coconut oil. One thing I read said that you should cut potatoes in half and rub raw potatoes all over your skin. Mm-hmm. It should be awfully time consuming. Fat-free milk, that was specifically mentioned, not just milk,
fat-free milk.
Fat-free milk. Eat a bunch of sunflower seeds because they contain a lot of vitamin E, and vitamin E is good for your skin. Eat yogurt, use tea bags on your skin, baking soda. As far as do these things work, I don't know. I mean, I figure it this way. If you really want to smear yourself with like yogurt or strawberries or tomatoes or whatever, I mean, fine, go for it. Mm-hmm. Why not? There are a lot of these things that have like certain anti-inflammatory kind of properties that might take some of the sting out. So I can see it. Like a lot of people will say that about vinegar, that it'll take some of the sting out of the sunburn. And it may. It's not going to cure it. It's going to go away. So if you don't feel like rubbing yourself with like boiled lettuce water.
Don't.
Just don't. It's okay. If you're into it, or if it's like a good excuse for you and your, you know, you and your loved one to, like, you know, experiment with some
while sunburn. No better time to make whoopee. What are actual treatments? What can I actually do? Give me the list.
Okay, so some actual treatments. Wait, I have to tell you this one other thing. I found one other thing. Great advice on the internet. This is one website. These are the things that they recommended. So don't wear sunscreen, cover up, eat real food, and get a tan were the recommendations. So this is this, and the reason I mentioned this, this is one website's sun protection regimen, mm-hmm. is don't just read the internet and do anything they say on there, because that's all bad advice.
Yeah.
Instead.
Well, cover up isn't bad advice.
Well, cover up is fine, but like if you think that eating real food, whatever that means, eating real food is going to protect you from a sunburn.
That's our problem. We don't eat enough raw food.
And also, don't wear sunscreen and get a tan. Well, anyway. Here's what you should actually do. First of all, don't get sunburned.
That's good.
Prevent it. That's the best thing you can do is wear sunscreen. Loose-fitting clothing. Like, if I know it's hot out and you don't want to be, you know, draped in lots of clothing, but loose-fitting clothing, covering up your extremities, wearing a hat. Those are all good ideas.
Use a sun umbrella.
Yes, absolutely. Get out of the sun when you start, like if you start to feel like, you know, when your skin starts to get that tight feeling, like a little sore. Like
then it's already too late.
Well, get out of the sun though, because a lot of people don't do that. If you do get a sunburn, hydrate. It's important, you know, because you're losing a lot of insensible fluid losses. You're losing fluid. Hmm. So hydrate yourself. Moisturize your skin. That's a good idea if you get a sunburn. Things like anti-inflammatories that are over the counter, ibuprofen or, you know, Aleve, naproxen, that kind of thing can help. Aloe really can take the sting out. Although, again, we're not talking about curing a sunburn. The only thing that cures a sunburn is time.
I just a real quick aside before we wrap up. This is kind of a hard show for me because if you didn't know this, maybe you did. My mom died from skin cancer about 10 years ago. So. I say that not to freak you out or to bring things down, but just to say that this is serious stuff, and a lot of people treat it like it's not, like it's just, you know, some advice you can take or not. But I'm here to tell you that it is very, 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 very important. So please take the time, take the extra 30 seconds before you leave the house, even if you're not going to the beach, you're just like out and about on a bright, sunny day, apply your sunscreen because it could just save your life.
That's absolutely true. There really is research to back up that wearing sunscreen and protecting yourself from burns can prevent specifically squamous cell cancer of the skin and melanoma.
Or just stay inside on a list of podcasts. That's an option.
That's right. We McElroys are producing them left and right. So yeah, check out all of our podcasts.
Yeah, like Sawbones. I do one called The Adventure Zone with my brothers where we play D&D. We do an advice podcast called My Brother and Me. I have a food review show on YouTube called Things I Bought at Sheetz. I have a video game podcast called Quality Control.
Travis has Bunker Buddies that he does with Andy.
Right, and he has another one called Trends Like These. He does his friend Brent about what's hot on the internet. And Griffin doesn't have a side project because he's, I don't know, maybe he's working just, a real job.
He's lazy and we're very disappointed.
Very disappointed.
Him.
So listen to all those. many of them are on the Maximum Fun Network, which we're a proud member of. You can find all those shows at MaximumFun.org. Thank you to the taxpayers for letting us use their song Medicines to intro and outro the show. We really do appreciate that. Thank you so much for listening. One other quick note. We're going to be in the Pacific Northwest at the end of August. Go to bit.ly/MBMBAM Seattle or bit.ly/VanMBMBAM. That's Seattle and Vancouver. Last weekend of August, it's going to be Sawbones and My Brother and Me, and it's going to be fun. So you should come out and see us.
And Riley will be there.
Riley will be there.
Who you like better than Justin.
Yeah. Now, thank you so much for that. That's going to do it for us, folks. Until next Wednesday, I'm Justin McElroy.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
And as always, don't drill a hole in your head.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.